what we started last night. If you weren't here, I'm sorry. You missed a great message. But cheer up. You're going to get to hear the second part of it tonight. Anyway, I do have one more sheet. People have been coming saying, do you have any more? I got one more. Anybody that didn't get one of these last night? First come, first serve. There's a couple there together. We'll give it to you. Anybody else need something to write with? Take these notes on. You got your own pen? Anybody need a pen? Pencil? That's it for that. Okay. Otherwise, you'll have to bum off your neighbor, whatever. Look on to your neighbor. Sorry, I didn't have any more. I can't believe we used to have friends said, honey, you've got hundreds of these made. You don't need to make any more photocopies. Every place I go where I get free photocopying, you know, these different churches, I was doing it. So I just ran a little bit short. Anyway, Lord willing, we'll be getting on a plane next Tuesday morning and heading back. I bring my notes. Did they fall out? Hey, is somebody playing jokes with me? you guys, I know you're a bunch of practical jokers. Anyway, I do pray about that. My wife goes for a biopsy in the morning, and that could affect our return. God will, it will not. Mainly, obviously. Well, let's look to the Lord in prayer.
Father, thank you for your word tonight. Pray you'd, again, open our hearts to what you would speak to us by your Spirit. Encourage us, Lord Jesus, as this song just encouraged us to be faithful unto death, that we might receive that crown of life. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Okay, as you see, if you have one of these, we're in the midst of a message on how to pray for M&Ms, and I won't go through all that again, what that means. And sorry you missed out on the M&Ms, but I think they got all picked up last night, but anyway, just very quickly, we first of all asked you to pray for us. And of course, this includes everybody, but especially I'm talking about your leaders, those that are over you and the Lord here, and for those of us who are serving out on foreign fields. Pray first of all for a clear vision. That was A. B, pray for a wartime mentality. And then C, pray for the right priorities. And then we'll pick it up with D tonight. In Philippians chapter 2, we'll be reading to start with. And again, for time's sake, you understand that I am not going to read by any chance anyway all these verses. In fact, I'm barely going to have time to fill in the blanks, except for the last point where I'm going to spend a little bit more time. But I will read this passage here, and I'll just be quoting a lot, and you can look up the others on your own leisure. But I do hope you will use this as a prayer guide for us, if for no one else. But I hope you'll use it for praying for all those who are doing these works, and also use it to pray for yourself. I think you'll find it really encouraging. I've been doing it now for a long time, well over a year and a half, whatever. Philippians 2, verse 3 says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And then it goes on to describe how he humbled himself. But let's go down to verse 14 for the sake of time. He says in verse 14, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom you shine as lights in the world. Number D, I'd ask you to pray for us that we'd have a godly attitude.
A godly attitude.
That we'd have the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ. That heart of a servant, a servant's heart, okay? Because that's the only way that we're going to have any lasting, eternal influence upon people, is if we have that mind of Christ and that heart of a servant. By the way, you ever said to anyone, how many times, right? Or thought, if you didn't say it, when they were asking you to do something, started imposing on you, maybe somebody in your family there, or a close friend, or someone. Maybe you ever reacted this way? What do you think I am, you servant? Think about it. We've been called to follow him. He said, we're not any greater than the master. And if he came to serve, then that's what we're here to do. He said, if you want to be great in God's kingdom, you've got to learn to be a servant. And a servant, you know, of course, has no possessions. So he doesn't, you know, you don't say, what are you doing with my, you know, you don't have anything. Time. A servant has no schedule of his own. Well, didn't you know I was just, you know, going to watch this game tonight? Servant has no schedule of his own. Praise the Lord. I'm trying to learn this still. 60 years old almost, and I've been a Christian for 50 of those years. At any rate, pray that we will have that kind of an attitude that will be characterized as the Lord Jesus was, by humility and submission. To be characterized by humility and submission, not by complaining and arguing. By the way, that's a good way to know if you are a servant, have a servant's attitude, a servant's heart. If you have the mind of Christ, is just, you know, how much do you complain? How much did Jesus complain? How much do you argue, strife? Those are very clear indications that we have a long way to go in this godly attitude. This is an area I'm really needing prayer in. So that's why I'm here. Again, you understand, I'm not telling you I've arrived in any of these areas. I'm asking you to pray for me and pray for Fran and for all the brothers and sisters out in the field in these areas, because we struggle in these areas. Number three, pray that we'll grasp the love of God. The love of God in all of its breadth and length and height and depth, and in all the love of Christ which passes understanding. That's what Paul prayed for the Ephesians, and I gave you the references up there, and that's what I want you to pray for. That we'll learn to do everything in love, as we're told to do. Do everything in love, and strive for the unity of the Holy Spirit. You know what the largest problem on the field is? The reason that most missionaries don't stay is because it's interpersonal. It's not health, it's not language, it's not all the opposition of the enemy, as far as, you know, the religion and everything you have to deal with there, the culture, the, you know, satanic oppression. It's just that we can't get along with each other.
Why? Because we're just like you.
We want to do it our own way. And so you see denominations, little minor things, like Brett was just telling me today about some split, you know, in a group there in Paul. I mean, God have mercy, we hardly have enough people together to rub together to get something going. And they say, well, I don't know if you dotted your T, your I, or crossed your T the same way I do. I think I'm going to start my own meeting.
So you need to pray for us, that we'll learn to major on the majors and minor on the minors.
And I'm going to tell you tonight, hey, you're free to shoot this down, but I'm going to tell you, I've been reading this Bible a long time, brothers and sisters,
and I can only find three things that are worth dividing.
It's that this is the Word of God.
And our only source of truth
is that Jesus is the Son of God and our only source of salvation.
And that salvation is by the grace of God
and not by anything. So I think that you need to really think about that little triangle, as it were. Anything that fits inside there, man, say, hey, you know, we'll work together as much as we can. I realize there may sometimes we won't be able to, you know, work together, and you'll do some things different. But, you know, we're certainly not going to badmouth you if you're preaching those. Amen? Well, I'd like to hear a lot of more amens on that. You show me if you got some more after the meeting. I'll be more than happy to look them up in the Word with you. Number E, right? Pray for joyful reactions to the trials of daily life. By the way, these missionaries splitting up over things like that isn't anything new. You know that happened right in the book of Acts. God recorded it for us, Acts 15. Two wonderful men of God, but it's good work together, so they split up. And God overrules. Isn't that great, wonderful? In His grace, He overrules, uses Paul, uses Barnabas, and the work goes forward. But I don't really think God likes to have. I think that's why He put it in the Word, to warn us. Number E, pray for joyful reactions to the trials of daily life. Pray, number one, and under that, that we'll remember that the Lord's in control of all of our health, our wealth, the weather, the traffic that we have to drive in. Boy, that's a big one for me. Please pray I'll learn to remember that over in Turkey. I vacillate between being frustrated and between being scared out of my wits when I'm driving over there. Well, I'll show you guys, and I'll run over sometime. Pray that we will just remember God's in control of all these things. And number two, that we'll learn to endure hardness.
It's not fun
when you get these. Mike, I think, was talking this morning about some of these parasites. And, you know, having fun with that right
pray
now.
Pray for her.
But just pray that number three, along with that, we'll learn to rejoice in our trials. And remember that this is not in there, but please write that in. Rejoice in our trials, and that squeeze in there that we'll remember them.
If we endure them with the right attitude.
If we endure them with the right attitude. And that, along with that, number four, we'll continually be doing, as it tells us,
continually be offering
the sacrifice of praises.
It's very simple.
You're praising God when you don't. Hey, it's easier to praise God when, you know, I'm feeling good tonight here, and, you know, we just sang a great song, and, you know, I mean, everything's going good for me right now.
But tomorrow morning, you know, that biopsy turns out really bad. You know, throws a monkey into our lives.
I had a good chance to do that with a vehicle the Lord provided for us while we were home. Paid $4,000 for it. I thought, praise the Lord. Never got out of the city before it fell apart. Ended up paying another $4,000 just to get it back around the circuit to Connecticut and back down here. Pray it'll sell. It's on the market. I ain't going to ask you to go over and look at it, but pray that God has healed it completely. I think we fixed everything that could possibly break. Anyway, that's when you learn to offer the sacrifice of praise. When, you know, you drop all your transmission fluid there in the driveway as you're pulling out or whatever. Number five, pray that we'll learn to cast all of our cares upon the Lord. Cast all of our cares upon the Lord. Immediately. Now, you know, a lot of times I cast my cares on the Lord, but not right away. You know, I want to carry it for a while, you know. Just make sure I get kind of nice and miserable. Now, if I say, oh, Lord, give this to you. That's what the devil wants us to do. God says immediately, right then, cast your burden on the Lord. But you know, sometimes after we do it, we got to keep doing it repeatedly. Every time the devil brings these cares of your biopsy or your job situation or whatever you're facing to you, Lord, it's yours. I'm yours. Number six, pray that we'll learn to look to the Lord and His Word alone for Him. Because you know what we tend to do? We tend to look to one another, you know,
as husband and wife. And sometimes, you know, both of us are down.
Encourage the other one, you're both down.
Or we tend to look to our teammates, and they've got their own problems.
Or we tend to expect somebody's going to call us or write us or send us a check or whatever, you know, states. And that's going to lift us up, an email. And sometimes it happens, praise the Lord. But let's not depend on that. The Lord says, look to me alone. And that's what David did when he was about to get stoned by his men there in 1 Samuel 30. It said, David's...
You've got to learn to be...
Number F, or point F, I should say.
Pray that we'll be a good witness.
A good witness.
Because that's what we're there to be, right?
Great to learn the language, great to learn the culture, great to, you know, see the sights. You know, great, a lot of things to do in Turkey, but that's not, you know, why we went there.
To be tourists, we went there to be a witness.
So pray, number one, that we'll be prepared witnesses.
Prepared.
And I probably didn't exhaust all the possibilities, but these 9 points or 10 points I'm going to share with you, I think, cover the most of them. That's 1 Peter 3:15. What did he say? Be ready always to give anyone that asks you,
and the hope that's in you.
Number two, pray that we'll be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and that we'll remember that people are individuals, that we don't approach people with a cookie cutter.
Oh, yeah. I know how to, you know, the four spiritual, or whatever you know you use, whatever approach you use, you know.
Just remember that it doesn't all work on everybody. I mean, look at Jesus. He told us. He was our example. And look at how he did with John 3 and John 4. This to me, that just blows my mind. In John 3, he meets a very religious guy, and then wasting time with him, he just comes right to the point and says, you got to get born again, man. We say, well, that's the way to witness to everybody. Go to John 4, the next chapter. He meets a prostitute. And what does he discuss with her? Religion. Well, now you guys say to worship over here, and you know, we say, well, what do you think? Well, God's a spirit. You should be worshiping the spirit and truth. And that's the approach he used with her, talking about water and, you know, never did actually come right out and blast her, but she got the point, didn't she? She got saved.
So we need to learn that. God help us to learn that.
And number three, to be faithful witnesses.
Redeeming the time, as we're told in Ephesians 5, because the days are evil. Making the most is my, another version I like to use to paraphrase that. It says, making the most of every opportunity. I like that. God help us to make the most of every opportunity.
Buy up the time. Number four, pray that we'll be confident in the power of the gospel. Romans 1:16 says it's God's dynamite to save everyone. Do you believe that tonight?
I say, you know, this guy I've been witnessing for ages, you know, this gal or my parent or whoever, you know,
my spouse.
Just remember
what God says. It's dynamite. Now, dynamite doesn't always have the same length of fuse. Sometimes you just have this little big, you go, you get out of the way, it's gone, boom. Sometimes you've got a fuse that goes, what was that movie?
Zorro.
You showed us down in Mexico. Remember that fuse? That thing lasted forever before it finally blew up the whole thing. Well, that's the way it's working in some of the people we're planting in. The gospel is a seed. That's another analogy, right? And you know, you go out and plant a seed and the next day you expect to have all your tomatoes. Oh man, where are those tomatoes?
It don't happen that quick.
Floating down there.
That's where faith comes.
So pray that we'll be confident in the power of the gospel, not in our own.
And that we'll remember in due.
I love that Galatians 6:9. Doris West always signs
in due season.
So there's two things to remember. We must not faint. Keep on sowing. And then number five, pray that we'll be compassionate.
Compassion. We talked about that this morning. I wish y'all could have been here. The workers that were here this morning, God really was speaking to us about being passionate for them.
Shared just a confession of his own heart, a lack of compassion. And I think we all were amening that.
Oh, it's so easy.
Professional.
Man, I don't want to be there.
Along with that, you know, you might just squeeze in that same thing, number five, that we'll be real. I didn't put an R in there, but just pray that we'll be real.
Amen.
I don't want to be a phony. God have mercy. I read about the Pharisees, and there's one thing Jesus blasted. It's that hypocrisy, pretending to be something I'm not.
So pray that we won't do that. We'll just be real. Sinners saved by the grace. Number six, pray that we'll be winsome.
Winsome.
What does that mean, winsome?
Well, you don't hear that used very often, but it's a good word.
Winsome.
By that, I'm talking about that verse in Titus 2:10, which says to adorn the doctrine.
Now, how do you adorn the doctrine of God?
The doctrine of God is perfect in itself, isn't it? But it's telling us to somehow adorn it, to make it beautiful. Well, I like to think of like if, you know, someone gave me a most beautiful, priceless Rembrandt or whatever painting there was. And they say, okay, Norm. So then it's up to me, how am I going to hang it? Am I going to go down to the, you know, five and dime? I don't have McCrory's anymore, but the dollar store and buy some old cheap frame and put it in that?
Man, I'd go out and I'd, you know, display my life in a life that attracts people.
It goes along with it. Not talking about being perfect.
Again, we're sinners.
We all fail, but by God's grace, we can be real, as I said. And when we fail, you know, admit it.
Confess it.
There's so much more I'd like to say along that line. But just think about it. Somebody said that this morning. I think that's one of the greatest witnesses we can ever make.
We do sin by lying. One time I cheated. When I was a salesman, I cheated a guy. And I had to drive back. And this was a big account, man. I hated to lose that thing. But I had not been completely honest with him.
And boy, that's...
But you know, after that... Yeah, I don't know if that man ever got saved, but he sure was a lot more friendly and really warm than I said after that. Because I came and I told the truth. I think this is a witness that we need to be willing to.
When we do blow it, when we lie or cheat or blow our temper or whatever among unsaved people or towards just one unsaved person, be willing to come back. That's winsome. Number seven, pray that we'll be protected from evil people.
Because there are a lot of people out there in Poland,
Turkey that don't like the messenger.
And they want to destroy the messenger.
So pray that.
But Paul asked prayer for one of these verses I have up here above.
That's the phone. And then number eight, pray that we'll be bold and fearless. Because you know what? Naturally, I'm not. I don't know about Brent. I don't know about the rest of you guys down in Mexico. Billy's told me he's not. He tells me he marvels at my courage. You know, I don't know where he thinks I get courage. You know, I ain't any more courageous than anybody of you guys. I'm afraid just like Paul was. That's why Paul writes and he says, pray for us that we will be fearless in making the needs of the gospel known, right? Paul was a coward too. But by the grace of God, he did the work. Number nine, pray that we'll be true to God's word, that we'll not distort it, either to avoid persecution.
Boy, that's a tempting.
Or to gain, quote, converts. You know, people we put in our letter. Or, you know, we show slides when we come home.
You'll see my slides on Friday night.
You're not going to see a flock of converts. But pray that we'll be true to God's word. And also, please pray.
Please
pray. I didn't put this on there either, but right underneath that, you can write,
for an abundant harvest.
And in Poland.
And
for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, we do want an abundant harvest.
They were saying this morning, we're not just doing this, not seeing any. So we want a harvest, not for ourselves, hopefully, but
for the Lord Jesus. And then, the last point, Saturday, G. Pray for eternal perspective. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, if you will.
And verse 18.
2 Corinthians 4:18. Paul says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. The things which are seen are temporal.
The things which are not seen are eternal.
Pray that like Moses, we'll keep our eyes on the heavenly rewards rather than on earthly toys, which are all going to pass away. As Peter tells us in 2 Peter 3, they're all going to burn up just like that.
You know, we forget that. So pray God will remind us.
I love this song that I think Ray Bolt popularized many years ago. I don't know if it's a great song.
It'd be a great one.
It says, thank you. Thank you for giving the Lord. I'm a life that was changed. And the story, the song goes long. This man is in heaven. He's just got to heaven and people are coming up and greeting him. And, you know, he doesn't even know who these people are when he first meets them. And this one man says, you know, you don't know me, but you probably don't remember, but you know,
used to teach my Sunday school when I was only 8 years old.
And every time you taught, you always had a little prayer that we prayed that. I'm here today. Thank you for giving that time to the Lord. And other one said, yeah, you don't remember me. In fact, this is a man obviously from another country. He said, but you know, he said one day a missionary, you know, he showed some funny slides that, you know, right, you know, you thought, man, he could have done a better job, focus in better or whatever, you know, knowing more about how to take slides. But anyway, you stayed and you listened and God touched your heart and you didn't have much in your pocket, but you gave it all. And because you gave that, that's why I'm here today. Thank you for giving to the Lord. Pray that we'll remember these things. Number two, pray that we'll be delivered from the vanity of this world. That we'll be delivered from the vanity of this world and that God will, as Joe Bailey, pray,
burn eternity into our eyes.
Burn eternity. Let me ask you a question. Do you find it hard to turn your back on all the things the world has to offer?
Well, so do we. I guarantee you.
We're no different than you, as I said at the beginning of this month. Some people are amazed when they learn that Fran and I went to Turkey in our 50s, and they say, why? Well, I'm going to tell you why. Because we were praying for more workers. We had friends who are already over there serving. In fact, two couples that we had helped support and pray for over the years. And we knew it was the largest unreached country in the world, and God was burdening our hearts. We were praying, Lord, send more workers. In 1991, as I was praying that, the Lord said, what about you? You know? Are your legs broken? You know, you got some reason you can't go? Well, when we looked at ourselves, Fran and I, we said, there's no way. We looked at the clock. I love that song that Debbie sang.
And I say,
you gave your life, you gave your all for me.
How could I possibly say?
I'm going to read you something, a quotation from a man named John Piper. Don't know if you have any books or read any books by John Piper, but if you don't, I really would encourage you to read it.
This is excellent. This is from his book about missions. He said, where in the Bible do you find anything about retiring? Did Moses retire? Did Paul? Do military officers retire in the middle of a war? It's beyond my comprehension that soldiers of the cross would be satisfied in retiring from the battle just before the trumpet blast and the beginning of the coronation ceremony.
They were just singing what?
Hold the fort, I'm coming! Many Christians, however, have their sights set on a Sabbath evening of resting and playing and traveling, which is the world's substitute for heaven, because the world doesn't believe in a real heaven.
Their mindset's that we must reward ourselves in this life for all of our years of hard labor. But what a strange reward for a Christian to set his sights on, to enjoy 20 or so years of leisure while living in the midst of the last days of consequence for millions of unreached people.
What a tragic way to finish our last lap before we enter the presence of our King who finished his life.
so differently. That's John Piper. I say amen. Do want to thank you tonight here at Oak Mill for praying for us so faithfully and helping us financially over the years. But I have to ask you guys the same question the Lord asked. What about you? We've got the largest unreached nation in the world. 65 million? Less than. We need you to come over and help us. You know, things have flip-flopped since Acts 6. You know, they were in Turkey then and they heard a man praying over in Europe and that's when the gospel went to the West. Well, this is 2,000 years. Situations reversed. We've been blessed, greatly blessed, but we need now to reach out to these. Somebody said, well, I don't know if I can make it in Turkey. I like what John Patton said to this guy when he was going to the South Sea Islands many years ago, over 100 years ago. This older Christian said to John Patton, said, young man, you mustn't go there. You might be eaten by cannibals. John Patton said very, you know, lovingly but firmly said, ah, dear brother, he said, probably in a few years you'll be dead, right? And then your body will be what? Eaten by worms? Then what difference does it make, brother? Worms are cannibals! I dare say in the resurrection we both shall rise in the likeness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Right? I mean, let's get the right perspective. And I love what Jim Elliot said. It's burned into my heart from 50 years ago now. He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep in order to gain what he can never lose. You and I, brother, sister, each have a little clock ticking, a little time bomb, and we have no idea. Could be tonight. The point is, whenever it does go off, that I'm where God wants me, doing what God called me to do with all of my might for His glory. And I trust you have that same. Number three, pray that we'll keep our eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ and persevere, that we'll not lose heart and give up, as we're so often tempted to do. I couldn't tell you how many times this past 4 years that Fran and I were ready to just forget it because of, first of all, the language, and then her health got so bad, and so many things came up. We were ready to quit, but because you guys back here were praying faithfully. We made it. We've learned the language. We're learning to adapt to the food and the culture, and we're excited to go back. Thank you for praying for us. Keep on praying. And number four, in connection with that, pray for more daily prayer partners. That's what we need. People who will commit, like some of you have. Praise God for you. To pray for us every day. Doesn't mean you got to pray 10 minutes for us, but just every day lift our names up to the Lord and whatever need you about us. And occasionally, if you can, drop us a line or an email. What an encouragement to know somebody on the other side of the world cares. You'll never know how much that means. I do hope you'll take one of our cards and fill that out tonight if God puts it out there on the end of praying for you. Number five, pray that we'll keep walking by faith and not get discouraged by setbacks or lack of visible. Pray that we'll remember what it says in Isaiah 55, that God's word
never, never.
And number six, pray that we'll remember. Turn to 2 Corinthians 2, if you would. That's my closing verse. Pray that we'll remember that God will accomplish His purpose through us, in spite of our weakness, which there are many, and in spite of our failures, there are also abundant. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14. What does it say? Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? Three things I see in these verses here. First of all, I notice he asked that question, who is sufficient? And again, as I told you, when we look at ourselves, we can't do it. We're never going to be able to go back to Turkey. And we just can't do it. But the Lord is our sufficient. Number two, I see he talks about a savor here. Savor means like a fragrance, a perfume, which is, of course, you see it, but you see the effects of it. Our problem is that we, you know, can't, in Corinthians 15:58, to be steadfast, immovable, hold the fort, for I am coming. I love that song. Good timing tonight. I didn't know they were going to sing that. I pray you'll have that same attitude tonight, too, in your ministry, whatever it is, world,
or wherever you are.
You'll be steadfast. I love the story of Napoleon's bugler. This was after Napoleon had won many, many battles. I don't know how many, but been winning battle after battle. And then one day they were in a battle that it appeared he wasn't winning.
And Napoleon rode up to his bugler and actually commanded him to play retreat. He saw the young man pick up the bugle, but nothing come out, no sound.
So he rode over there again and swatted him, you know, with the flat part of his sword. And he said, I said, play retreat. And tears were streaming down the young man's eyes. He said, sir, I've forgotten how to play retreat. Napoleon said, well, play something, man.
And you know how to play.
He started playing charge. And the soldiers all scared around with all the fighting going on. They had no idea what was being said. They just saw their commander with a bugler, and they heard charge. They said, well, we've got to charge. The boss says charge. And they did, and they won the battle. Pray that Fred and I will have that same attitude, and that each one of you will have that same attitude, brother. Not know how to quit. Run if you want to. Run if you will. I came here to stay. If I fall down, I'm going to try to get up, because I didn't start out to play. It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation. It's a fight. It's not a game. Run if you want to. Run if you will. But I came here to...
You know that chorus?
Can you sing it with me? Run if you want to, run if you will. I came here to stay. If I fall down, I'm gonna try to get up, cause it didn't start out to play. It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a fight, it's not a game. So run if you want to, run if you will. But I came here to
stay. Lord bless you.